Hey everyone, I'm Pastor Matt Prater from New Hope Church. I encourage you to stay with us for the next 30 minutes or so. I'm just going to share a short message with you today about mission drift, about how we can get off track in life. We need to get back on track. Now, you mightn't be used to watching a sermon online for that long, but just to ask you to stay with us and, you know, get comfortable, grab a cuppa and, you know, maybe give the kids some gaffer tape over their mouths or something. Just, you know, chill out for a bit and listen out to the message today. And I do encourage you to take some notes. I'm going to be sharing some stories, some quotes, some Bible verses, some dad jokes. Write them down and, you know, maybe take note of what you're receiving today so you can review it a little bit later. Please make a comment and tell us where you're watching from. We'll be getting lots of people all over Brisbane. Let us know what suburb you're in. We get people from Canberra, Fiji, Sydney, Hawaii, Las Vegas, PNG, Japan. Lots of people from all over the world have been watching our messages recently. We'd love to know where you are tuning in from. So make a comment and let us know. And please, throughout the message, you know, type amen and hallelujah and preach, you know, encourage me a bit while we're going today. Make a note of all the scripture references that I'm commenting on as well so that others can write them down. Communicate and encourage each other through the message. We want to make this as interactive as possible. Now, don't forget, at the end of this, we will have some Zoom prayer so we can pray for you. We'll put up a Zoom link. We'd love to pray with you. And maybe you'd like to make a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you need some healing in your life. Maybe you need a breakthrough. We'd love to pray for you. So hang around for us at the end. So today's message is called Mission Drift. And one of the scariest things that can happen to organization is mission drift. It's where the original mission is ignored and people go off track and lose their way. What is the original mission of Jesus? What did he actually teach? What did he commission his disciples to do? Have we lost our way? Have we strayed from the blueprint that we received in the Bible? God has given us a chance in this season to reset, to refocus, to reboot, to relook, to review everything. God is calling us to get back to doing things his way. The way we do church, the way we do connect groups, the way we reach the poor, the way we share our faith, the way we do missions, the way we raise our children, the way we worship. Everything is being shaken. Will we go back to the same old, or will we listen to what God's Spirit is saying to the church right now? I'm encouraging everyone in our church to go through a season of prayer and fasting to really seek God for your life, to hear his voice. You know, when you turn your computer off and on, it does like a reset, a defrag of your computer. We need to do that. And when we fast, we do a reset of our life. So have a, you know, make a commitment to spend some time without eating where you give it to the Lord and you really press into God and write down what he says to you. If you're getting prophetic words and God's speaking to you, send them through to us at the church. We'd love to hear what God is saying to everyone. You know, a little bit of my story. I came to faith as a young fella. I was raised in a Christian household and knew about God, but I didn't really know you could have a personal relationship with God till I was about 15. So I went to a youth camp and I heard about the gospel and received Christ as my Lord and Savior, mainly because I just didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. But then when I started reading the Bible and I started worshiping Jesus with my life, I actually fell in love with Jesus. I thought he was the most amazing man that ever walked the planet. And I was convinced he's the Son of God and I needed to give my life to him. And everything changed. I then had an up time in my life where things were going well and I was leading a Christian group at school. Things were going well. I was running youth ministry. All sorts of amazing things were happening. But then I had some problems happen in my life. Some bad things happened. And I kind of went off mission and got distracted and went the wrong direction. And then I kind of got corrected again. The Holy Spirit brought me back and I got back on mission to what God had called me to do. And then some more bumps in the road happened and I get off mission. I found this has been a regular pattern in my life. I go off mission and get distracted for a while, and then I go on mission and get back on track. Maybe you're in a place right now where you've gone off mission. You've had mission drift in your life. I'm challenging you today to have a think about, are you fulfilling the mission God's called you to fulfill on this earth? Are you obeying him? Are you using your gifts and your talents for his glory? Or are you just going off mission? Are you having mission drift in your life? You know, this week in our family devotions, we read through Matthew 28. And it's a famous section of scripture where it talks about the resurrection of Jesus, and then in the last bit it's called the Great Commission, where Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, that's the mission of the church. You know, a survey in the US recently showed that 95% of Christians have never shared their faith. Has the church really strayed that far away from what the original church was like? The believers around the time of Jesus and around the time of Paul and the book of Acts, they were full on for Jesus. They shared the gospel wherever they went. Nowadays, 95% of people who attend church don't share their faith. I would suggest to you that church, capital C church, all over the world has had mission drift away from the original mission that God has called us to. You know, another survey of Christian leaders in the US showed that 95% said mission drift was a challenging issue to all faith-based nonprofit organizations. And I'm here to tell you, after my traveling around and visiting many churches over the years and working in Christian radio and connecting with many churches all over the world, I've seen some churches that are on mission, that are on fire, that are on track, that are following God's word. But sadly, I see many churches that have had mission drift. Some charities that started out with an on-fire founder who wanted to preach the gospel and care for the poor and do amazing work for Jesus. Now those charities pale in comparison to what the original founder intended them to be. Some traditional churches started out with a true devotion to God's word, and now they've got all these religious traditions and rituals that they go through and all these things that they wear and things that they do that are, it's churchianity, not Christianity. They've made up all this stuff that's man's traditions and not what God wants us to do. You know, one of my favorite slogans for our church that we've used over the years is, we're for people interested in God, not in religion. I don't want to create a bunch of man-made rules and man-made things to try and please God. I want to do what God told us to do, to worship him in spirit and truth, to preach the gospel, to care for the poor, to get back to the basics. I don't want mission drift and get too complicated. I want to get back to the basics of what God has called us to do. Even in Pentecostal churches, we can have all these traditions that we just do. Why do we do them? Man-made traditions. Let's get back to the blueprint of God's word. When you look at Jesus's time, the religious leaders had all these man-made rules. And Jesus was indignant. He had righteous anger. He went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. He said, my house should be a house of prayer for all nations, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. Let's be careful that we don't get mission drift and turn our churches, turn our homes into full of religious rituals. Let's get back to what God has called us to do. I chose the word drift intentionally in this message today about mission drift because drifting is the image of slowly, silently, with little fanfare, carrying you away from your destination. It's not a dramatic drift, it's a slow drift. And yet anyone who's spent time on a boat of any size can know how it happens. You just get off course a little bit and then you get further and further off course, further and further off course. I nearly fell off my chair. It's cliche, but the moments of greatest temptation occur when we least expect it. Faith-based organizations feel the tug of secularization most when they're enjoying seasons of growth. It's so easy for success to cloud drift, but it's always there. As Christians, we must daily commit ourselves to protecting and celebrating what matters most in what God has entrusted to us. Let's look at the word in John 2, verse 13 to 17. You can make a note of that. John 2, 13 to 17. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. I've been there. I love it. I love Jerusalem. Beautiful place. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords. Now, let me just pause here. Some people think Jesus lost his temper. No. Jesus carefully sat down and he made a whip. He knew what he was doing. He was intentionally doing something. He made a whip out of cords, which would have taken a while. And he drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of money changers and overturned their tables. Some people think Jesus was just this nice, hippie, sweet, nice guy that wore a nightie and walked around saying, bless you, you know. Jesus was a man. He was a tough, mighty warrior who's defending and standing up for what his father wanted. He drove them out of that those temple courtyards. He said to those who sold doves, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. His disciples remembered that it's written, zeal for your house will consume me. Well, friends, that's my heart behind this message today. Zeal for God's house has consumed me. Let's get back to what God has called us to do, to be a house of prayer. Let's not get distracted with all these religious rituals and man-made stuff and all these different things that can lead us off path, off mission. Let's get back to the mission of what God has called us to do, not just in the church, but in our own lives. This is a time for us to rethink and reset everything, to get back to what God has called us to do. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 6, you can write that down. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 6. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Kids, are you listening? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And here's the verse I want to focus on. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, turn away. For of this sort of those who creep into households, make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Friends, we need to read through that list and check our hearts. Is God speaking to us today saying, I want you to turn from this selfishness. Don't be a blasphemer. Don't be disobedient. Don't be unthankful. Don't be unloving, unforgiving. Make sure you have self-control. Make sure you're not headstrong and haughty. Make sure that you're not a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God. And then here's the verse, having a form of godliness but denying its power. There's many churches, many Christians that have this outer form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. We've got to be functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be functioning in the gifts of the Spirit. We've got to be led by the Holy Spirit and not by the flesh. Let's be careful not to have mission drift away to being fleshly, carnal, worldly Christians. Let's make sure we're the real deal. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. Be the real deal before Jesus. Don't just have a form of godliness, but deny the power of God. We need the power of God. You know, we need Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came in power. We need that every day in our lives. It's a great warning there from 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 6. Another passage here where Jesus warned about the last days in Matthew 24, 4 to 14. You can write that down, make a note, Matthew 24, 4 to 14. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him, said, tell us, what will happen? What will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Jesus said, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Messiah, and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Another version says the beginning of sorrows. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Oh my goodness, that breaks my heart. Some warnings in there. It says, don't be alarmed. When you hear of all this stuff, don't be alarmed. A lot of people are freaking out. Don't be alarmed about what's happening around the world right now and what will happen. if this is just the beginning of sorrows, it means there's a lot more stuff to happen. Who knows what part of the prophetic timeline we're in. But we know that there's going to be bad stuff happening. Don't be alarmed. God is on the throne. He's got this. He knows the end from the beginning. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is our healer, our deliverer, our savior. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm preaching myself happy today. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Famines, earthquakes, heaps of stuff happening. There's murder hornets in the US. There's talk of a big, you know, asteroid coming towards the earth one day. You know, there's all sorts of stuff happening. Don't be alarmed. God has got this. And then it says, verse 10, many will turn away from the faith. There's going to be a great falling away. There's going to be a great apostasy. There's going to be many people that turn away from the original mission. And then it warns and says, because of the increase of wickedness, and let me tell you, we're seeing a dramatic increase in wickedness all around the world. It says the love of most will grow cold. You've got to guard your heart and make sure your love for Jesus is on fire. How do you do that? Every day. You pray. You worship. You pray in the Spirit. You read God's word. You dress yourself in the armor of God. You sharpen your sword and read the word of God. You share your faith with people. You get back to the original mission, sharing the gospel, praying for the sick, cleansing the leper, raising the dead, walking in, being led by the Spirit, and prophesying, speaking the word of the Lord wherever you go. Make sure we don't drift away from what we're actually called to do, because the love of many will grow cold. There'll be a great falling away in the last days. You've got to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Make sure that your salvation is right before God. You can't get to heaven through what I'm doing or through what your pastors and leaders are doing. It's only through your faith in Jesus. Only through your personal relationship with God that you can get to heaven. Only through your personal relationship with God you can make sure your love doesn't grow cold in these last days. Don't drift away from the mission God's called you to. Make sure your heart is on fire for God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 4 is another warning. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 4, write that down, make a note. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or word of mouth or letter, asserting the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. The Bible indicates that there'll be a great apostasy during the end times, the great falling away. Another version calls it the great rebellion. What's an apostasy? It's an abandonment of truth. The end times will include a wholesale rejection of God's revelation, a further falling away of an already fallen world. The Greek word rebellion or falling away is the word apostasia, from which we get the word apostasy. It refers to general defection from the true word, from the true God, from the Bible and from the Christian faith. Now, every age has had its defectors, but the falling away at the end will be complete and worldwide. The whole planet will be in rebellion against God and Christ. Now, every coup has a coup leader, and this global apostasy will be led by the Antichrist in the last days. And there is an Antichrist spirit at work through the world today. You see it in the media, in the education system. You see it in politics. Anything to do with Christ, Antichrist means instead of Christ. There's many people that worship lots of things instead of Christ these days. There's an Antichrist spirit. As soon as you mention Jesus or Christianity or the church, people automatically rail against it. There's an Antichrist spirit already at work, and many Antichrists have already come, the Bible says, but there will be one Antichrist who will lead a great rebellion. Make sure you don't follow him. Make sure you don't, make sure you guard your heart and your love doesn't grow cold for Christ in these last days. Let's look at this verse here, another great passage here in the scriptures. I didn't make a note of that passage. Anyway, I'll find it and I'll put it up in just a moment. It's the bit where Peter responded to Jesus and talked about Jesus as the Messiah. I'll find that verse for you in a minute. But it says, Then Jesus said, sorry, into my elbow. Sorry, wrong cough. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you'll have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the Father has sent me, I live because of the Father who feeds on me, because he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." And then the next verse, in verse 60, whatever chapter of the Bible this is, I think this is Matthew chapter 6, actually Matthew chapter 6, that's it, I remember it now. Matthew 6, verse 60, it says, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying, who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore, I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father.'" In verse 66, this is interesting, Matthew 6, 66, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' But Simon Peter answered, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Don't you love Peter's boldness to follow Jesus right there? Interesting that when Jesus shared about how people will have to eat of his body and drink of his blood, many people turned away. They probably thought, "Oh, it's unclean." They didn't realize he was talking about communion and that the representation of the body and the blood of Christ in communion. But many of the disciples walked away. You know what? Jesus preached a tough message. He didn't just say, "Come to me, everything's going to be okay." He did say, "Come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." But he also said things like, "Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Leave everything behind and come follow me." It's a tough call. There's a price to pay to follow Christ. There is a cost of discipleship. Many fell away. And I'm concerned in this day and age that many people have preached such a nice, warm, fluffy gospel that tickles people's ears that they think, "Oh, I can come to Jesus and everything will be fine." You come to Jesus, you've got a target on your back. You're going to be attacked more than ever before. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on. "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." Even though you've got an enemy against you, Jesus is greater than that enemy. So stand firm. Don't drift away. Follow the true gospel. You know, when we hear the word backslide, it generally makes people think of images of falling into open and gross sin. Well, backsliding certainly includes that, but isn't just limited to that. Backsliding is not just falling backward, it's also failing to go forward spiritually. If we're not moving forward in Christ, then we are naturally going backwards. In the Christian life, there's no standing still. There's no neutral. We're either growing and progressing or we're regressing. You show me a person who's failing to move forward spiritually, and by that I mean a person who is growing as a follower of Jesus, who is deepening in their prayer life and their study of Scripture, and I'll show you a person who is full on for God. Make sure you're not backsliding. Backsliding is a uniquely biblical word. In Jeremiah 2:19, it says, "Your own wickedness will correct you and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God." Also, Jeremiah 3:22 says, "Return your backsliding children and I will heal your backslidings." The Bible tells the story of a man who backslid, someone who no one probably expected to fall away. The one we just read about in the last chapter, Simon Peter, when he denied Jesus. Peter had walked with the Lord during 3 years of intense discipleship, and yet he denied Jesus. It's a reminder to us that all of us have the potential to fall. All of us have the potential of mission drift. Peter's denial was not merely a spontaneous response to an unexpected danger or embarrassment. For all practical purposes, he'd already laid out the groundwork for desertion. No one suddenly backslides. It's a series of gradual steps, mission drift, that lead to it. Because every day we're either building up or weakening our spiritual character. We're either moving forward or we're falling backward. There is no neutral. Let's look at the steps that it took for Peter's fall. Self-confidence. You can write that down. Self-confidence. Luke 22:33 tells us that Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Peter was boasting in the wrong thing, his own strength. Mark's gospel tells us he did this repeatedly. He was prideful and self-assured. The Bible warns, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall," in 1 Corinthians 10:12. We should not be confident in ourselves, but in God. Self-confidence can be a warning sign before backsliding. Don't be confident in yourself. It's not by might or by spirit, not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord in Zechariah. Prayerlessness is another symptom that can lead to backsliding. The sin of prayerlessness was a direct result of Peter's first sin of self-confidence. When the disciples accompanied Jesus to the Mount of Olives, he specifically instructed Peter, James, and John to pray in Luke 22:40. But they fell asleep. He said, "Stay here and watch over me while I pray." And they fell asleep. He went back, said, "Come on, stay here and pray with me." They fell asleep again. They failed in praying. If they weren't so full of self-confidence, I'm sure they would have been praying. If they knew what was going to happen that night, they would have stayed up praying. Often we do the same. We don't pray. We talk about praying, but do we pray? We take matters into our own hands and come up with clever little plans and make a mess out of things. We need to call upon the Lord and hear his voice. We need to recognize our own weaknesses. Confess that we're in complete spiritual poverty without God's Holy Spirit. This brings us down to Peter's next step down, following at a distance. In Luke 22:54, we read that Peter followed at a distance. He distanced himself from the Lord in closeness and fellowship. And it's always a step we take in spiritual regression. In his defense, Peter was still following, but it was at a distance. It was half-hearted commitment. We've got to be all in for Jesus. We've got to be following with everything. Have you ever watched a TV nature program where a lion was chasing after lunch for a gazelle or a zebra or something? He usually gets the straggler, the one that's separated from the rest. In the same way, the devil will grab the stragglers, those who are following at a distance. Don't follow at a distance. Get close as you possibly can to Jesus. You can never be too close to Jesus. There's a famous saying in Judaism where the disciple eats the dust of the rabbi because they follow him everywhere. We've got to eat the dust of our Rabbi Jesus. We've got to follow him everywhere. Where he goes, we go. What he says, we says. What he prays, we prays. We've got to follow him everywhere. Eat the dust of our Rabbi Jesus. To Peter's credit, he got together with the other disciples after Jesus' crucifixion and after he'd fallen and he was devastated. He was destroyed, but he was waiting there with the other disciples when Jesus appeared. Just like Peter, you have a choice when you fail. When you have mission drift, you have a choice to either go down the wrong path or to come back. And remember, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that follows Jesus, that leads to eternal life. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father through him." We've got to follow Jesus in every area of our life. Now, when you fall away, you can be destroyed and devastated and let the devil condemn you, or you can ask the Holy Spirit to convict you and lead you into truth. Remember, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, the Bible says. You need to get back to Jesus as quick as possible whenever you stray. Are you growing spiritually, or have you been backsliding? Are you on mission, or are you off mission? Remember, backsliding is not just going backward, it's failing to go forward. Why not make a fresh commitment today to move forward in your relationship with Jesus? Have you been falling away? Is there sins in your life that are repetitive that you can't break free of? Derek Prince often says in his teaching, I've heard him a number of times, he said this, he said, if you have a sin an addiction that you can't break, it's probably a demon. You need to be set free from that. You need to confess your sins before God, speak them out, and let Jesus take them and set you free. Jesus said, the word of God says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Are you free from the shackles of sin? Have you been drifting away and giving a foothold for the enemy in your life? You need to cut that off. You need to come back to Jesus with all your heart. For the church worldwide, we need to be careful of mission drift, falling away from the original mission of Jesus. And for us personally, we need to come back to Jesus with everything. Are you ready to recommit yourself to him today? Are you ready to come back to him with all your heart? Are you willing to surrender yourself to him? When I came to Christ at the age of 15, we sang that song, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Have you surrendered all to Jesus? Don't just give him half of your life. Don't just give him 75% or 99%. We've got to be all in to follow Jesus. Have you drifted away? I'm going to give you an opportunity to come back to him right now. Give your heart to him. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then we'll be saved. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you want to give your heart to Jesus today and come back to him with everything, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray it. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. Wherever you are watching this, repeat this after me out loud. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I believe if you prayed that prayer, you've given your heart to Jesus and you've started afresh today. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You're back on mission to what God has called you to do. I've got four bits of advice. Number one, pray. Every day, you can pray to Jesus all day, every day. The Bible says pray unceasingly. Number two, read God's word. If you haven't got a Bible, we'll send you one. Send us a message. Send us an email. We'll send you a free Bible and information about following Jesus. Number three, be connected to a church. You're welcome to connect with our church. If not, find a good church and be connected. And number four, tell others the good news of Jesus. We're all called to share that we're Christians and share our testimony. Well, God bless you all. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have a Zoom prayer meeting now. We'd love for you to join us. We'd love to pray for you if you need healing in your body, if you need a breakthrough, if you need anything for prayer. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus, we'd love to pray with you. Please join us in our Zoom meeting. We'll send you the info up on the screen. God bless you. Thanks very much. Bye.